A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
concentrate
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 369. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Years and Years. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, this is a joint BBC and HBO production from 2019, a very recent show for us. 6 one-hour episodes following one family, an extended family, through 15 years of turbulent, shall we say, future history, Brian? This is speculative, looking at the next 15 years or so.
Yes, and it was created by Russell T. Davies of Doctor Who fan, and it has a quite spectacular star cast of actors and indeed characters in here, and it's speculative and gets into some things with future technology and some various sci-fi ideas, but it's also very political, and it is possibly the most political show we've covered yet, and I think will likely be the most political discussion we've had yet.
Yes, lots to get into. There's so much to talk about with Years and Years.
So let's start by getting into the setup. We are following the fortunes of the Lyons family, with the extended family, with 4 different siblings and all of their families, and the way that they are affected by world events and events in the UK, and the way that maybe in their own way, they have some impact on larger events as well.
Yes, that's right. We're going to see some of the political upheavals that perhaps cause these world events or that result from them. All the while, the Lyons family are going through their own stuff. They've all got family stuff, individual personal struggles and battles, sort of successes and failures to deal with, using, I guess, this family as a device to reflect on some massive changes in the world. And the family are sort of, it is an extended family, and they're extended not just in terms of family relations, but also in geography. They're spread across the country, although they do come together quite regularly for big family events and celebrations. And that gives us time to catch up on what everybody's up to, but also to reflect on what's going on around them. So it's an interesting device and well used.
Yes, because this is spread over so much time, they can focus on those times where they would come together for these family events. And sometimes for New Year's as well, New Year's is marked in this quite a bit. And where often in things we've talked about, we see a group of siblings who are children. In this case, the siblings are adults, and we see their children and other relatives. Which brings us into the characters. Daniel Lyons was played by Russell Tovey, who we remember most from Being Human. He's also been in Doctor Who. He is the younger of the brothers, although he isn't the youngest sibling. And he is a housing officer in Manchester dealing with a refugee crisis that is happening as the series starts.
And then we have his older brother. In fact, I think probably the oldest of the family, Stephen.
He is the eldest sibling, yes.
Yes. Played by Rory Kinnear, who we saw in First Men in the Moon with Mark Gatiss. But we also went to see a cinema streaming version of his Hamlet at the National, I remember, Brian. We've been talking about Hamlets quite a lot recently, and Rory Kinnear did a very good one.
He did, and he's also been in the James Bond films.
Of course, he plays Tanner in the Daniel Craigs.
That's right.
And he is a financial advisor in London. So we've got a housing officer dealing with refugees, we've got a financial advisor, we've got a way in to some of the problems of the country already.
Yeah, and we get the feeling that Stephen is doing pretty well financially. You know, he does quite well as a financial advisor, while Daniel is doing well enough. Stephen is really doing pretty well. Celeste was played by Tania Miller, who I remember most from Doctor Who Hellbound, from that famous moment where the General, a Time Lord in Doctor Who, regenerates from an older white man to a younger black woman, and the woman regenerated into was played by Tania Miller. She's also well known for The Haunting of Bly Manor. So Celeste is an accountant, and she is married to Stephen, and also doing quite well professionally.
Then we have their eldest daughter, Bethany, played by Lydia West. They have two daughters, and Bethany in particular is dealing with a particular, shall we say, an identity issue, Brian, but not necessarily the one that her parents think she's dealing with. And we'll be talking much more about that, particularly as we get to our second episode. But she's a fascinating character, and I thought very well played as a character who sort of goes from teenage to adult during the show.
Yes, and that is something that this show has to do quite a bit of, is having characters who start out as children or young teenagers, and we have to see them basically become adults. Rosie, played by Ruth Madley, is the youngest of the four siblings, Daniel and Stephen's younger sister, and she has spina bifida. She uses a wheelchair. She is a single mother who is working at a school doing, I think, school lunch programs or nutritional programs, and seems to have lots of things on the go with her children and seems to be very busy and doing very well with things.
And then the other sister to complete the Lyons siblings is Edith, played by Jessica Hines from Spaced, but also from Doctor Who, from the Family of Blood and Human Nature two-parter. And she is a political activist who at the start of the series is away from the UK. She is round the world basically protesting at or reporting from various troubled spots. Although she will return to the UK because events sort of require her to. And yeah, it was great to see Jessica Hines in this as well. And it's a very sort of interesting, disparate bunch of siblings that we've got.
Yes, it really is. And the four siblings are sort of the anchor of this show. And there are lots of other important characters, but they do some interesting things with that group for sure. Muriel Deacon, played by Anne Reed, is the grandmother of the four siblings, and her house that has been in the family for, I think, maybe decades, even by the time the series starts, is a sort of central point for family gatherings, and it's very important to all of them. And she is a very important character, a very important person in the lives of those four siblings, and is very important to this show. When we first see her, she is sort of well into her 80s, and we see her quite a bit older than that, as it turns out.
Yeah, so we were just discussing before we started recording that we saw Anne Reed in that ghost haunted house story, Marchlands, Brian.
Yes, playing an interesting character there who sort of seems to be a straightforward person doing childcare and turns out to have her own secrets as part of that. So a different character, but in both cases, Anne Reed playing an older woman who has a lot of important things to say.
And I'll just mention quickly that the siblings' parents don't see. The mother we know has died, and the father has a new life of his own somewhere else, which will become part of the plot later on. But yes, Muriel's the sort of head of the family. She is the sort of the matriarch of the Lyons family.
Yes, she's the grandmother, but she's almost like the mother figure for them, because we have very little involvement of anyone from the generation of the parents of those siblings.
And there are more. Obviously, there are loved ones for the siblings. There is more children. So Muriel has at least, I think, another 3, and by the end of the series, 4 great-grandchildren. It is quite an extended family, and we'll talk about the different sort of representations in that family more in our second episode.
Yeah, there is a very large group of characters in this. We're telling you about a sampling of them. There are many others.
But let's just mention one other character who appears in the first episode. Vivian Rook, a very successful businesswoman who has a rather forthright and, should we say, at times foul-mouthed approach to plain speaking, who is becoming somewhat of a well-known public figure, is appearing on television question and answer shows and talk shows and basically impressing a large proportion of the audience with her plain speaking views. And Vivian Rook is played by none other than Emma Thompson, who is, we'll sort of tip this off, she's having a great time in this role, isn't she, Brian?
Yes, she really is. And Vivian Rook is sort of the idea of the populist politician and the populist anti-immigrant politician. And it's done in a fairly realistic way in a lot of ways. But yes, Emma Thompson does it very well and makes that character, I think, quite terrifying in a very real way.
Absolutely. So we will move on with the years and years as they roll forward. We start in about 2019 in a world that's fairly recognisable as our own. But of course, then events start to happen. I suppose the first notable event, which seemed quite plausible at the time when this was first written and broadcast, was that Donald Trump wins a second term as US president in 2020 in the show. And he will later go on to spark a world conflict that has, a very dramatic and terrible outcome to the end, literally, of the first episode. You know, events get quite grim and scary quite early on in this show, Brian.
Yes. And in fact, a lot of what is involved in that is with something that happens on Donald Trump's last day in office. So this was an interesting way that things were done in this. One of the features we see in this show, the approach, is that it does a sort of fast forward where after a certain amount of time, seeing things in 2019 or 2020 or even 2024, we will see things fast forward a couple of years or at least several months, and we'll have little snippets of things happening over the course of a year and then visit things in detail a couple of years later. And that gives us sort of a glimpse of world events as we skip through time more rapidly.
Yes, and it gives the family chance to sort of catch up and react to some of these events and give their own reactions and sort of views on things. Plus, of course, their own family stuff that they're dealing with.
Yes, absolutely. And we have changing technology as part of this as well. And we have some technology that we see introduced, and we see people being a little uncomfortable with it and becoming more comfortable and eventually relying on it completely and then it disappearing to be replaced by something else. So those cycles were done sort of in an interesting way along the way as they went with this.
Absolutely. While, of course, as we've said, we're hurtling forwards to what will eventually be 15 years or so with these terrible world events going on, things seeming to be going wrong for the planet. And the Lyons family, as a reflection of a British family trying to deal with all of this, plus, as we've said, they've got their own lives, they're falling in and out of love, partners come and go, new arrivals. And, of course, they're going to have some financial misfortunes, much like the rest of the society seem to be having at the same time. Plus, they've got the younger generation who are, let's say, have their own views and aspirations and challenge their parents and older relatives somewhat as the series progresses.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the middle episodes of this, of the six episodes, tend to cover about a year each, and the first and last episodes cover more than that. Now, I will say, part of how this is set up, part of how I view it in any case, and I am opening up on this opinion a little bit earlier than I might in our discussions, is Years and Years is a cautionary tale about populist politics and about, in particular, anti-immigrant populist politics coming from the right-wing side of things. And the sort of core of this show is we're looking at a view of things, of how that might happen, proceeding along those lines, and what some of the consequences might be, and how people might react to that, and how it can be dealt with to move on from it.
Much more to come on that in our next episode, I think, Brian.
Absolutely. But I think it is important to mention now that the politics of it and this idea of populist politics, that really is that central to this show, that that's sort of what it's about.
Absolutely.
So I think we should move on to our production notes.
Absolutely. So Russell T. Davis, of course, is the creator of this show, a screenwriter and producer best known to us for his absolutely essential revival of Doctor Who and bringing it back to our screens in 2005, where it's been a regular fixture ever since. So already very well known to us, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Producer of Doctor Who, showrunner of Doctor Who for a number of years. We also covered his earlier productions, Dark Season, we talked about in British Invaders 75 and 76, and Century Falls, which came later, but we talked about it earlier. We talked about in British Invaders 61 and 62. Both of those were more or less children's serials, and they definitely had some reflection of the fact that he was interested in Doctor Who and had sort of some influence there. Other notable works from RTD: Queer as Folk, The Second Coming, Casanova, the Doctor Who spin-offs Torchwood and the Sarah Jane Adventures. And now there is this series, It's a Sin, which is dealing with the history of the HIV crisis in the UK.
A show that's getting very good reviews as well, and being shown on both sides of the pond, I think.
Yes, I haven't had the chance to see it yet, but I'm hoping to. Davies had this idea about writing a long-running family drama following the course of things with an extended family, and had been working on the project and on this idea on and off for about 20 years.
Yes, it's interesting because all his other projects, I suppose most notably Doctor Who and its spin-offs, kept him too busy to bring his attention back to that notebook or file on the computer titled Years and Years. But of course, eventually he got time to do it, and in June 2018 the BBC announced that he would be writing this new show for them that would reflect political, economic, environmental and social upheavals of modern life, as the press release had it. And it was also announced that Emma Thompson was going to be cast in a major role. And then, of course, we got several other major casting announcements, some of the very sort of impressive people we've already been talking about over the next few months. And we know, as we said, this was a co-production. The money came from the BBC and from HBO, the two sort of big names behind this series.
Yes, and I think it shows that they have the extra budget that you might get from a co-production that way. But indeed, that's how it was handled. The series was produced by a production company called Red, who are known for Happy Valley and Queer as Folk, The Second Coming, Casanova, and It's a Sin. So Russell T. Davies had worked with them quite a bit by this point. The first four episodes were directed by Simon Kellen-Jones, who had started his television career way back working on Edge of Darkness, But we also watched his time travel show Paradox, which was very good.
Yes, it was. And shame that it didn't get another series. As you say, he did the first of four of the six episodes. The last two, Lisa Mulcahy takes over as director. We know that filming began in October 2018, mostly location work, I think, in Manchester. I think Russell T Davies got this, you know, praiseworthy tradition of taking filming out into the regions of Britain and the UK rather than just being always stuck in London, which, as you know, regular listeners and yourself, Brian, will know, I'm a fan of some of these regional shoots and productions.
Well, there is this idea that we've seen so much shot in London and in the home counties, you know, the area immediately near London, that we end up with a look for that we see a lot. So getting something else is always interesting.
And another Doctor Who link is the composer Murray Gold, who of course was the composer on the revival of Doctor Who from 2005 to 2018. And he does the music for years and years, and very impressive, and at times quite sort of scary and haunting, it seems to me as well. But it was nice to have that, and again, that connection, RTD working with a production company he knows, a composer he knows. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yes, I think it makes sense that he was working with a lot of reliable people, because this was a very ambitious project.
There are some special effects which reflect mostly, I think, the technology that we're seeing. So we see holographic facial filters. We've got the ever-present home assistant in all their homes. We've got tech blockers. And then, of course, we're going to talk about this quite a lot next time, implantable human interfaces with technology, which becomes really quite a major part of the plot and the way that information and data can be handled by a human with these implants. But I also have to say, in perhaps a slight also Doctor Who connection, Brian, there's a slightly rubbish robot in the first episode, which I was, as you know, Brian, I was slightly taken by this slightly dire robot, which fortunately doesn't turn up again.
Yeah, they do interesting things with technology for sure. And that was sort of just a side thing along the way. But yeah, I think what they did in realizing that on the whole was pretty good. Years and Years was broadcast on BBC One starting on May 1st, 2019, and then on HBO starting on June 24th, 2019.
So, broadcast on both sides of the pond, which is good. And that takes us to our availability notes. So again, as ever in Region 2, I always get the easy part of this bargain, Brian. All six episodes still available on BBC iPlayer, which is where I've been watching them this time for the second time. I watched it when the show came out, and I've just finished watching it again. You can get it on DVD for about £8, or you can stream it on Amazon if you don't have access to BBC iPlayer, where it is about £11 SD or £13 HD for the series. But if you have a BBC license and you've got iPlayer, then you can watch it for free at the moment, which is great.
Very nice. In Region 1, things are slightly more complicated, but not too bad. It is distributed by HBO, which means that it streams on HBO Max if you're in the US, and on the Crave Plus Movies Plus HBO service if you're in Canada. So a subscription to one of those will do it, or even a free trial for something like maybe a week you can get and be able to watch this. It's also available for purchase as a download from iTunes, from Amazon, from Vudu, and from some others as well. So online, it is quite widely available in North America. It is not on DVD or Blu-ray for North American release.
But how appropriate for a show that deals with technology that it is available to stream quite easily in most parts of the world, which is good.
Oh, yes. And for something that is an HBO co-production, it's going to be available through the HBO channels.
So that will do us for the first part of our discussion about Years and Years. We have got lots to talk about next time, Brian. We are going to have to talk about some of the technology in this show, and particularly get into the subject of transhumanism. But we're also going to talk a little bit about representation in RTD shows. And we're going to take a slightly closer look at those politics that Vivian Rook espouses that are, as you say, this is a cautionary tale about. So there's lots to talk about next time.
Yes, we will definitely get into some of the political things in much more detail than we have so far. And we will also have our reviews and recommendations and plenty more about what we thought about this series. Until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there where we always have some good discussion going on.
Absolutely. And as long as Vivian Rook has not blocked your technology, you will also be able to find British Invaders as a proud member of the Voice of Geeks Network. Head towards vognetwork.com for more details there.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.